If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Here comes Agudelo over the sliding challenge of Madronda. Agudelo. Now Fagundes. It gets knocked forward to Bumbury. He puts it in the back of the net, but his reaction tells you the most important thing. He was in an offside position. They have now, with VAR, overturned the call, and it is a goal for the Revolution. And now in stoppage time in the first half, the Revolution have taken a 1-0 lead. There's the final whistle. And it's all 3 points for the Revolution. And for Sporting KC, the end of a 7-match unbeaten streak as they come up empty-handed in New England.
And he hits it high and deep to left center field. Delmonico is back. Two home runs for Chesler Cuthbert. Up the middle and into center field. Escobar will be waved home on Garcia. Here's the throw. Safe.
We had to have that. I mean, we had, after the seventh inning, we really needed to score. I mean, you know, bases loaded, nobody out, and that was a little deflating there, knowing that, you know, we were really short on pitching. And so to pick it up in the eighth inning there like we did in that fashion was a big hit.
Chiefs!
For the 46th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Breeland Speaks. Linebacker, Ole Miss.
How these guys are going to approach the process and what they're going to bring on Sunday. I mean, these guys are physical players. And you know, they, again, they play that style that we want to kind of emulate. And you look at some of those teams over the years. I always look at those Steeler teams and Ravens teams and how those guys just kind of roll their sleeves up and play football. And it's a four-quarter battle. And that's kind of the mentality we want to have. And Speaks is a guy like that. Nani's a guy like that. And Dorian O'Daniel's a guy like that. I mean, these guys play four quarters. They leave it all on the field. And, again, they bring that kind of temperament we're looking for.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol on this April 30th. It's the last day of April already?
Payday, bruh.
Man.
Heyday.
It does not feel like the last day of April. It feels like with the weather outside, April's just starting.
That's March.
But
I believe it.
It is. We are moving into the month of May after today. Hope you're having a good start to your morning. We've got a busy show for you coming up. My name is Nate Bucati. That other voice you heard is that of Jake Gutierrez.
Good morning to
you. How are you, man?
I'm awesome.
Licking your wounds. Are they healed yet from that 6-2 beatdown at the hands of BIP on
Friday
night? No
idea what you're talking about. This is a weekend full of
draft picks. A lot of stuff happened this weekend.
Royals win their
Friday night. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet.
Royals won the back-to-back. First time all season, back-to-back.
First time.
Back-to-back chicken shack.
Congratulations to the Kansas City
Royals. Son of a gun. You better change your act.
Salvador Perez is apparently the fun police now. He's not going to tolerate people celebrating minor accomplishments on a baseball field. Certainly he would never do that. But hey, the Royals haven't lost since he did that, since he took issue with the White Sox celebrating a home run. And maybe that's just what the doctor ordered to jumpstart the Kansas City Royals as they head to Boston.
When you start to get loud, you say some bad word over there, let's go, all that shit. I don't like that, you know. So you had to respect my team.
Respect. It's all about respect. The Royals went and took that respect with two wins to close out that series against the White Sox. Now they're in Boston. We'll talk about that. We've got Brian McCray coming up at 7 o'clock. We might touch on the Royals at in the 8 o'clock hour with Sam Mellinger as well. We also have our first chance to react to the NFL draft, which we will do so with Brian Baldinger coming up at 6:30, a rare 6 o'clock hour guest. That's a special treat for you on this Monday morning. Also, obviously, we'll talk a lot of draft with Sam and then Herm Edwards at 9 o'clock as well. You might notice that one Stephen St. John is not here today. Not everybody can handle going to the Christian Okoye celebrity roast of Tim Grunhard and answer the bell the next morning. Some of us can. One of us did. It was fun last night. Thanks everybody that came out. I had a good time. Speaking of coming out, Gary Lezak was there. And he was great. He was funny. He was awesome. One of the maybe the funniest roaster, Gary Lezak, in my opinion. And Stephen did a great job as host. I was told that maybe my roasting performance was the best they've ever seen. I don't know.
By who?
I mean,
that was a funny joke that you just made, and you kind of just let it.
That's the whole point.
That's how. That's not your style.
That's
not the point.
That's not your style.
I enjoy your style, but no, that's not the point. That's not how you do it. It's not how I do it. It's how you do it. It's not how I do it.
Ease those jokes in. If people get it, they get it. If they don't, move on.
Hammer it. Hammer it away.
So, subtlety is not your thing.
No, it's not. Never has been. Never will be.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Takes all kinds, man.
Got to have self-awareness.
But yeah, so thanks to everybody that came out. It's a very great cause, Christian Okoye Foundation. Raise the money for underprivileged kids to play sports, both here in California and in Nigeria as well.
So Grunny, he survived.
He did. He was a good host, or a good sport about the whole thing. You know, he survived. Nothing was too
no like stale, uncomfortable. Everybody's really uncomfortable, but that's kind of funny.
I don't think so.
No one crossing lines.
No,
basically.
I don't feel like it. You know,
that's too bad. I love people uncomfortable.
I called him some really bad names.
Well, that's no different than when he comes in here on Friday mornings. So
yeah. I said a few things that I probably wouldn't have said to him if I didn't know that Christian Okoye had my back at it.
But, right. You know, but you had the forum.
But I did. You know, I felt like that was my job at this thing.
I have the microphone, so you will listen to every word I say.
That's right. Wedding singer, right?
Yes, sir.
That's how I took the approach. And this, we met a lot of good listeners, saw a lot of our good friends too, like El Wapo. He was there.
Yeah.
Jamie Bluma, Frank Bowles. In the house.
I saw some Snapchats with Steven and Dan Salamua.
Yep. Yep. He was awesome. He was great. What a funny guy.
And looked like he had a little bit of an entourage with him.
Yeah. And Nick Lowry was there.
Nick the Kick.
Steve DeBerg had some pretty good jokes for Grunny. So Michael Garozzo was there, and he finished the thing off. It was good.
I was being harassed by one Mr. Jamie Bluma.
Bluma was there.
Bluma was harassing me. Where the hell you at?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm in prep. Full prep mode.
Full prep for your vacay?
Yep. 24 hours.
Today's the last day for Jake Gutierrez in 2 weeks?
Yep. Nine shows. I'll be gone for 9 shows.
I've never taken more than a full week of vacation at one time.
I haven't since Swartz has been gone. But.
That gives you the time to get out there and really get after it in Maui. That's awesome, dude. I'm excited for you.
It's peace out. First week, my phone will just be off. But then the second week, I'll probably be paying attention, and I'll probably, you know, be not hands on, but if something comes up, I'll be available. First week, I'm just unavailable.
Unavailable.
If something comes up, figure it out. Good luck.
Oh boy.
Yeah, right, dude.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Here we go.
Second week, you can bother me and I'll have my phone on. First week, I'm just turning the thing off.
Yeah.
I'm just peace. Show will go on. You guys are pros. You'll figure it out. You got great guests. I have pretty much the show all lined out for the first week. We have our regular guests and then we have some other things mixed in, but you two are the mainstay. You guys will be fine.
Yeah.
You'll have Drake here to handle all the operations.
Well, we'll make it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Right, big weekend, though. Let's dive in.
Yeah, let's dive in. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs in the draft. We had a great time at the Chiefs watch party on
Friday.
Friday night, myself, Steven, Jake, all there.
Seems like a month ago.
Yeah, Mean Mug, the intern, was there helping us out.
Had Belinda Post helping out.
Yeah, thanks to Belinda Post. She did a great job.
True pro.
She was. She really was. I mean, she took the initiative, really just took over our Facebook Live page, which obviously we encourage you to go to A10WHB on Facebook and like the page. You can watch all the Facebook Live videos that happened there, etc. And she was great. She did a lot of interviews with fans and players.
Appreciate all the promotions. Kyle was out there. Yep. Pamela, I think.
Yep.
But the fans, man, they were everywhere.
Boy, and boy, did they want to come talk to you.
That's not true.
The fan, that's absolutely true.
They're talking to me so they can get to you guys. I was just kind of the buffer.
No, they know that you're the draft guru on this show, and they wanted to talk draft. You can tell they'd come up and shake hands with me, say, hey, nice to meet you, listen to the show. And then they'd say, Jake, what do you think the Chiefs are going to do? And then you guys would just be off talking.
Right.
For 15
I said,
minutes.
You know what? The Chiefs are going to use every pick they have to draft a defensive player.
Are you happy now?
Yes.
You're happy
I'm
now.
Like, this guy, Brett Veach, really knows how to shut me up.
Yeah. Okay, Jake.
Alex Smith sucks. Trade him. Okay. Damn it. They haven't done anything on defense. Okay, we're using every pick to draft a defense player.
Even the offensive guy they picked
was
plays
defense. Right. I'm good with it.
Their last pick is an offensive, and I said a defensive tackle in college. We're going to move him to guard.
Right. It happens to be the Raiders GM, Reggie McKenzie's son.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it perfect. Because I said, if you're going to draft offense, this offensive line is where you need to be addressing. If you're going to use draft picks, offensive line.
Yeah.
So what they did is they drafted a defender, and they're going to move him to offensive line is the rumor. So
yeah,
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I'll be honest. A lot of the names weren't the guys I saw targeted, and weren't on my radar at those picks. But the more I dive into it, I like it. I like it. I like Nada a lot. I think that is. I think in the long run, I think that's going to be a great pick. I think upside with Speaks is great. I love the safety they got from Texas A&M. I'm thrilled. I really am.
They got guys that should be able to help this year.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I think they drafted guys that are going to see snaps for sure. And I think there's maybe a player or two who might crack the starting 11 on. On one side, you know, obviously on the defensive side of the ball. So,
when I was on with Danny Klingscale on the live draft coverage, and also when I did the Facebook Live thing with Belinda Post, they both asked me to rank in order the positions of most need for the Kansas City Chiefs. And my number one need was still edge pass rusher. I don't believe Dee Ford is an every down answer. I do have questions about the long-term health of Justin Houston. This team has to get after the quarterback better. I think that's even more important than the cornerback position or defensive back position. So that's what I said was number one. After that, I did say defensive back was the next most important thing. After that, I said depth on the defensive line, interior defensive lineman was the next most important thing. Then I said interior offensive line, be it a guard or a center, is the next most important thing, and then a tight end. Depth at the tight end position. I mean, the Chiefs hammered every one of those needs with the exception of the tight end position, and you only have so many draft picks. So, for me, at least from a needs standpoint, the Chiefs did exactly what they needed to do in this year's draft. Look, only time will tell if these guys turn out to be the kinds of players that the Chiefs think they can be or not. Sometimes teams are right, sometimes they're wrong. But it can't be denied that they went out and they addressed needs in this draft. That also can tell you that, hey, when people say, oh, it's only best player available, look, nothing is 100% one thing or another. If you have the best running back in the entire NFL and the best player available is a running back, and you got another guy who's rated very similarly but just a little bit below, and he plays a position that you don't have, you're going to take that other guy.
It's a combination of both.
It's a combination.
Every time. I mean, because if that was the case, Mason Rudolph would not have dropped to the third round. because there were several points in time where that he was the best player in the draft.
Yep.
And he kept flipping. And we see that happen all the time. Yep. There's teams that don't need a quarterback, and there's teams that don't need a running back, like you said. Yep. And they're not, I mean, it has to be a blend. It has to be a blend of both.
Yep. Well, I'm going to speak to Breland Speaks first.
Ah.
Now, I love this pick. And I realize that this pick appears like a reach to many because most of the mock drafts and analysis out there had him as more of a third round or fourth round pick. The Chiefs obviously felt strongly that he was going to be taken within the seven picks before they were set to draft. That's why they traded up. They would not have traded up if they didn't have strong reason to believe that he was going to be gone. When he was first drafted, this is a name, as Jake said, that none of us had seen associated with the Kansas City Chiefs. So the first thing you do is you start looking into information, and he's listed as a defensive lineman at the time. And the bio at NFL.com and other places says that he can move all over the defensive line. He's versatile. He can, you know, get after the quarterback. He can get tackles for loss. He's aggressive. He gets kicked out of games in college. Had a DUI in his past. But then Andy Reid comes up to the podium and says, we're going to play him at outside linebacker. At least on non-obvious passing downs. You know, I don't think there's such a thing as running downs anymore in the NFL. But there are obvious passing downs, and then there's non-obvious passing downs. And they're going to play him at inside or at outside linebacker on those situations. Then on obvious passing downs, they're going to move him to an interior defensive line spot. To me, that says this guy, they would like to see start over D Ford on plays where there's a threat the other team could run the ball. And then if it's an obvious passing situation, they could bring D Ford in as an extra pass rusher and he can move inside. Seeing a nice gif of Breland Speaks on 38th spot right now.
Oh, what I just put up there, that was a gif.
Oh, I thought it was a gif. But,
no, it's spelled with a G.
Agree to disagree.
But that's right there, that's
my,
a gif.
My giraffe.
So,
I love the idea of this pick. One of the things we talked about with Tim Grunhard on Friday leading into the draft, we threw out a couple of names of other outside linebackers that might get drafted in the second round. The kid from Boston College being the number one guy. And Grunny said, well, he worries me because he can't stop the run. Everything's an edge pass rush with him. He's not big enough. They're going to run right at him. And I feel like that's exactly what the Chiefs did a lot of times with D Ford on the field. So Grunny was basically implying we need a guy that can play on the edge and get after the quarterback.
You talking about, is it Harold Landry?
Yeah, Landry. So we need a guy that can play on the edge that can also...
He went 41st to the Titans. Yeah,
can also not be a liability against the run.
Right.
And that's what the Chiefs appear to have gotten here. They've gotten a bigger, stronger player. And in many ways, what you would probably think of more as a traditional defensive end in a 4-3 as opposed to an outside linebacker in a 3-4. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. 6'3", 283 pounds. They compare it to Tom Ali, they being Andy Reid and Brett Veach. And if you remember, Tamba Ali was not drafted to play in a 3-4 defense. He was drafted to be a defensive end in a 4-3. Now, look, I think a lot of times this formation talk is overrated at this point in the NFL because, first of all, this is just a base defense that we're talking about, and how often do teams actually play their base package in the NFL anymore? When teams go 3 wide receivers, 4 wide receivers, teams are not leaving their base packages on the field. So, and the situation is that the outside linebacker in a 3-4 a lot of times is a glorified defensive end. Now, sometimes we know in the Chiefs system, they end up dropping into coverage, things like that. But this tells me they wanted somebody who plays on the line of scrimmage. and who is going to be able to stay on the field in some of those running situations. And moreover, remember last year that the Chiefs had some problems that every time they went to their nickel package, teams were running all over them, even in like third and medium, sometimes third and long, because the Chiefs could not stop the run from that personnel. And I think this draft spoke to that quite a bit, because I think that Breeland Speaks is the kind of guy they feel like can be able to help against the run. I think that Dorian O'Daniel, the linebacker that they drafted from Clemson in the third round, is the kind of guy that's really not an inside linebacker but might be able to play in that spot.
You know what that guy will be able to do is what you've been talking about for a long time.
Thank you.
And that's move Eric Berry off the line. You've been hammering that all day, all week, all year. And that's what that guy, he's going to be a safety hybrid linebacker who they can move into the box and keep Eric Berry off the line.
Well, and it was particularly damaging to the Chiefs last year when Eric Berry got hurt, because then all of a sudden it was Daniel Sorensen up in the box. Daniel Sorensen does not need to be in the box. He is not an in-the-box safety, okay? I actually think Daniel Sorensen has been getting a little bit too much, I don't know if hate's the right word, but he's been dismissed quite a bit when we talk about how badly the Chiefs need safety help. I think he's actually a good player. He was just miscast last year once Eric Berry was out, because they kept putting him in the box, and he's not built for that. Well, Dorian O'Daniel, I think more than anything, is going to be more of a special teams guy this year, but I do think that that's the kind of situation he can help out in. If you need to take Reggie Ragland off the field, they say you're not going to need to take Hitchens off the field in third down situations, but if you need to take Ragland off the field, you might have a smaller, faster guy who would be big for a safety, is small for a linebacker, can cover people, but also maybe can come up and make a tackle if the other team decides to run the football. So I like that pick. Mitch, I skipped over their second pick, which was the third round pick, Derek Nnadi. Jake mentioned him, defensive tackle from Florida State. Todd McShay says he's the best draft pick by the Kansas City Chiefs in this year's draft. He likes Nnadi because he can be stout against the run. He says he's a much better football player than Tester. He didn't test well at the combine, which is why he fell a little bit. He's not a three-down player, but should be able to help the nose tackle spot for the Kansas City Chiefs, who need help at that spot. And so I like that pick. They need more bodies along the defensive line. Then, of course, they took a safety, Armani Watts, a big play guy who made big interceptions in big moments for Texas A&M. Missed a lot of tackles as well. That is the knock on him. Missed a lot of tackles. Goes for the big hit sometimes. Goes for the strip. Goes for the fumble. Forced a lot of fumbles. Caused a lot of turnovers. Big play guy. They needed help at safety. I think he's got the opportunity to be big value in the fourth round. And then in the sixth round, they got a cornerback, Tremont Smith, out of Central Arkansas, and Khalil McKenzie. We mentioned him. They drafted him out of Tennessee. He's a defensive tackle in college. They're going to move him to offensive guard, so it might be a little bit of a project there. But they need depth on that offensive line, and McKenzie could provide it. Overall, I thought the Chiefs did a swell job with this draft in making this team better and more able to compete in 2018. We will take a break. We're going to talk with Brian Baldinger about the draft when we come back. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Bigger outside backers, he's not 245 pounds with 4.5 speed. Tamba was a 275, 280 guy, 8'4", 8'8", change guy, but he was a point A to point B guy. It wasn't pretty, it was just physical, and that's what this guy is. You know, it's not always pretty, but it's physical. And, you know, some of his late tape, I think if you get a chance to watch that, I think you can see just kind of what we saw and why we value him so much. And again, just knowing that if you sit there at 54, you're not going to get this guy. And you want safeties, you want corners, but, I mean, you got to affect the quarterback. You can't go out there and play 7-on-7. And we looked at it, the last opportunity to get a guy that can affect the quarterback. And that's why we did what we did and went up and got him.
The Border Patrol continues on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 Spot. Certainly thank you for tuning in on the radio and on television as well. We're talking more NFL draft with our friend Brian Baldinger. You can follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk Kansas City Chiefs draft. They went heavy on defense in this draft. What did you think of the haul that the Kansas City Chiefs got this year, Brian?
Well, you know, without a first-round pick because of Patrick Mahomes last year, you know, you had to start, you know, you had to sit out the first day, which is always, you know, always a little tough. But I like Breland Speaks, you know. I mean, he's a guy that can come off the edge. He can do a lot of things. He can play up and down the line of scrimmage for you, inside or outside. And I think he's going to, you know, you give him to the defensive side of the ball and just let him work on him. And I think he'll work himself in there pretty quickly. And then, look, Nandi is, I think if you watch Florida State, you know, they did not have a great team this year. The offense fell apart without the quarterback, but he's a really good football player. I thought him and Josh Sweat both were drafted where they should be drafted, Sweat by the Eagles. And, of course, you know, they needed a nose tackle right now. He's somebody inside that can, you know, they can really kind of stuff things up. And then I thought O'Daniel is a guy that, you know, just got, you know, great promise. I mean, you lose Derek Johnson and you got to try to find an inside linebacker, and I think he's a guy that could probably eventually get there. But the defense was not good last year. The run defense wasn't good. You know, they're changing things outside the corner. I thought those three guys that you're speaking of, where they went defense heavy, I think that's where they needed to spend their money. I think that's where they needed to spend their resources, and they did.
All right, let's talk about Breland Speaks a little bit more. The Chiefs, of course, moved up seven spots to get him. They were clearly, they had their eyes on him. They thought somebody else might take him, so they moved up a few spots to make sure that they didn't have to take that chance. And I thought it was interesting. We heard the comments of Brett Veach there about Tamba Hali. Andy Reid and Brett Veach compared him to Tamba Hali. I pointed out that Tamba was originally drafted by the Chiefs to play in a 4-3 as a defensive end, but he did transition into that outside linebacker spot in a 3-4. Could you talk about maybe what that position calls for in the 3-4 scheme? They did not take one of these prototypical smaller outside linebackers. They took a guy that I feel like a lot of times would be profiled more as a defensive end. How do you feel about that fit for him with this Chiefs defensive scheme?
Well, we've seen a lot of guys transition to it, you know, with a stand-up outside linebacker. But let's face it, in this league right now, you're in your nickel package probably 70% of the time, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I've seen teams, regardless, play the nickel, and, you know, teams got to run you out of it, you know. And so, for the most part, you know, the four-man defensive front, Justin Houston would be on one side. You know, you can look at what they have right now. Maybe it will be Speaks and, you know, what they have in that situation. But, you know, you have to kind of look and say, all right, you know, in this scheme that they're running, D4, you know, and maybe he's there if he's healthy and maybe Speaks works himself in there. But you're going to be in your nickel package almost 70% of the time. It's about getting after the quarterback. Most teams are an 11 personnel, one tight end, one back, and that's kind of who you're putting on the field when you see that package right now. And that's what most teams are running.
He was ejected from a couple of games in college. He plays with an edge, a little bit of a fire to him. It almost seems like that's something the Chiefs actually wanted, not the getting ejected part, but a little more attitude on this defense. Is that, I guess, should you be concerned about that at all, or is that a positive in your mind, the fact that you got a guy that's got a little bit of an edge to him?
Well, the infractions of what got him thrown out of the game, I don't really know those exactly. All I know is I think that he's got a lot to work with, and I think he's very coachable. You know, I mean, I think he's excited about getting to the NFL. I mean, I think he's got all the tools necessary. He was a highly regarded guy. He was drafted maybe about where he was expected to go. You know, you want to say second round, third round, he was in that category. That's where the Chiefs want him. All that I know is, if this is the guy that they wanted, you know, he's going to be their first pick of the draft, and that's what he's going to look like, the first pick. Go get him. If that's what you like, and he has those kind of things you talk about, some fire in the belly, gets excited, gets emotional, if those are the things that you covet, and he has all the other things that you want, which has been a two-year starter for Ole Miss, then go get him. And so that's all you can say. It's like everybody kind of scouts these guys differently. none of us could put him in full goal where Brandon thinks he's going to be right now. But obviously, the Chiefs had a lot of time to think about this. They saw the guys that had gone already. And, you know, Harold Landry dropping in the second round, Brandon Speaks, and the guys that come off the edge. You don't find very many of them in any draft. So we could talk about a bunch of them, but only a couple of them really hit. And so you're looking for a guy that can bend, that can turn the corner. He's got some violent hands. I know Mike Smith there on the defense line of Kansas City probably thinks a great deal of this guy, and will have a great deal to work with along with Britt Reed. So I think they've got a guy that has tools that they can work with, and we'll see what they do from there.
We're visiting with Brian Baldinger once again. You can see his great NFL coverage at Baldy NFL on Twitter. Another one of the draft picks that we haven't touched on yet, I wanted to ask you about, Brian, is safety Armani Watts out of Texas A&M. He's made a lot of big plays in his career, big interceptions to help win games for Texas A&M, a lot of times in overtime, forcing fumbles. But the big knock I read on him, he missed a lot of tackles at the college level. The big play upside is obviously something the Chiefs have really loved. They've made a lot of takeaways over the past few years, and they need that without a player like Marcus Peters. How much do you value that, and how much of a concern would be the missed tackles from their safety Armani Watts in the fourth round?
Well, he's a four-year starter at Texas A&M, so he's been on the field a lot, and that's always I always like that. He has big playability. He's got very good to elite speed. If you want to compare him to Earl Thomas, it's not out of the question. It's
wow.
Hard in college. As spread out as all offenses are, as much ground as you got to cover, these guys miss tackles. Tackling is, there's a lot of technique to it. They'll address that. But I think that you're looking at the upside of this guy, a guy that has made a lot of those big plays to talk about. I think he can match up. I think he can cover. I think the fact that he's been on the field for that long, for 4 years now, I think he's a true cover safety, and that's what you got to be in this league. I mean, you got to be able to drop down a twin set and cover the slot receiver, cover tight ends, and he's shown that ability to do it.
In the sixth round, they drafted a guy by the name of Khalil McKenzie, who is the son of Reggie McKenzie of the Oakland Raiders GM, which is interesting right there. But it's also interesting in that he played defensive tackle in college, and the Chiefs are going to move him to offensive guard. How long will that process, or should that process take?
Well, between Reggie and his brother, I mean, they both were great offensive guards. Maybe that's where he belongs. It's a two-year process, generally. I mean, they used to do it a lot when they had NFL Europe, and they would take guys that were defensive linemen in college or other positions and move them, and then move them to the offensive line. You needed a year of learning technique, of learning blocking schemes, and then you needed a year of playing. That's what NFL Europe was, where they'd get a chance to go really just go play without really having to worry too much about the consequences and just get 10 games under your belt and then come back and play. They don't really have that luxury anymore. I think it's tougher with a lot of the rule changes. But it's not uncommon. I mean, we used to do it all the time when I played with the Dallas Cowboys. We had Pat Donovan, who was an all-pro left tackle and defensive lineman at Stanford, and Glenn Titan sort of played defensive line at BYU, and they moved him to guard. He became a good guard for the Cowboys. I can point to different guys throughout the league. Alejandro Villanueva was a tight end at Army, became an all-pro left tackle for Pittsburgh. I mean, you go through a list of guys that made the transition. It's usually a two-year process if it's going to work. But what you like is an attitude and athletic ability to work with, and I think that's what he has.
Brian, we certainly thank you so much for the time, especially this early in the morning, and I'll again encourage everybody to read all of your NFL coverage. Go to Twitter, at BaldyNFL. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks.
All right, that's Brian Baldinger breaking down the Chiefs NFL draft for us. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
I mean, we see Speaks as a guy that it'll be Justin and D and Speaks. And that's how I see it, just based off the tape and the evaluation. I think You know, last year we had a situation where D was hurt, right? And, you know, Frankie Zombo had to play a lot of plays. Now bringing Breland back in here, we feel we have, you know, the ability to kind of line up and have Justin and D, and then Breland can kind of work in there. And then Tano can still develop and kind of maybe do a little bit of both. And then Frankie can probably assume more of a team's role. But, again, Justin, D, and Breland is kind of how we see it. 90 will be in that rotation. And, again, with O'Daniel, you're looking at the percentages that you play in that dime stuff and then all the teams. So these guys will be on the field and be contributors. And, again, they'll make their presence felt because of how they play and the way they play.
Chiefs focused up front in the draft on defense. That's what they needed to do. Now we will see how quickly and if at all these guys can contribute. If they can, the Chiefs did exactly what they needed in the draft. Now, meanwhile, this weekend, the Kansas City Royals got off to a horrible start this weekend, losing on Thursday, Friday, and the first game on Saturday. But then they were able to come back and win the second game on Saturday after a benches-clearing incident between Salvador Perez and Tim Anderson. There was really just two teams rushing out onto the field to talk to one another, and James Shields rushing out onto the field to give a bear hug to Ian Kennedy, his old buddy. But the Royals did get a win, and then they backed it up yesterday with another win, and Ian Kennedy went five innings, gave up two runs for the Royals. Brian Flynn had a rough go, but the rest of the bullpen did a good job. McCarthy and Boyer. Chesler Cuthbert hit his first two home runs of the season. Nice to see him get going. And one of the positives for the Royals has been the performance of Jorge Soler. The Soler power hasn't really been there yet, but everything else has been. He's hitting .307. He's got an OPS of .903 so far in 2018. And he made a good play in the field yesterday as well. So I'm going to call it the biggest positive for the team so far when it comes to the future of the Royals. Guys that might be on the roster through the rebuild. Jorge Soler under club control through 2021. And he's playing well. So there's a positive for you. The Royals now go to Boston. It's going to be tough against the Red Sox over the next 3 days. But hey, first time all year, they got back-to-back wins. We'll take it. We'll take a break. We're going to talk about controversy in MLS. Video review costing Sporting Kansas City a game over the weekend. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Here comes Agudelo over the sliding challenge of Madronda. Agudelo. Now Fagundes. It gets knocked forward to Bumbury. He puts it in the back of the net, but his reaction tells you the most important thing. He was in an offside position. They have now, with VAR, overturned the call, and it is a goal for the Revolution. And now in stoppage time in the first half, the Revolution have taken a 1-0 lead.
Well, that was a bizarre moment in the Sporting Kansas City game on Saturday night. You heard it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sporting KC's seven-match unbeaten streak came to an end as they lost to the New England Revolution 1-0. In the end, it might have been a result that was, you could say, I don't know, that maybe New England deserved a win. I thought they were the better team most of the game. But their goal came in an extremely fortunate situation for them. It was a lucky bounce. Roger Espinoza was poking the ball away from New England player Diego Fagundes, and it just happened to tap it right to Teal Bumbury, who was wide open because he was in an offside position. He's not offside, though, if the other team passes the ball back to him, which is what ended up happening there, and he scored the goal. But what made it interesting was that up until just a few months ago in the history of the sport of soccer, that would not have been a goal because the assistant referee put his flag up for offside, and the referee awarded offside, and there was no such thing as video review. But now in MLS and in some countries in the world, there is video review. This play was reviewed. They figured out that it was Roger Espinoza from Sporting Kansas City that, in fact, touched the ball to Bumbury. And so he wasn't offside, so the goal stood. Now, the interesting part about this one is the fact, and I equate this to the fumble rule in the NFL. When a player is ruled down in the NFL, and we had this happen in the playoff game, right? They said forward progress. But when a player is ruled down in the NFL incorrectly, if the ref blows his whistle, you can't really go back in time and change that, because then who recovered the fumble? The play was dead. Everybody stopped. Now, the tough part about this in soccer is they're telling these guys, play until the whistle. Don't pay attention to the flag, because the flag is just a recommendation for offside. As long as the ref doesn't blow his whistle to stop play, it's reviewable. You can go back and review it. Now, I'm not sure if anybody stopped for Sporting. I think both the defenders were not in positions to really do anything, but if somebody did, it was the goalkeeper, Tim Melia. He kind of froze on the play. And when you're looking on 38, the spot, you can see it right now. Tim Melia just kind of freezes there. And you can see immediately both Teal Bunbury and Tim Melia think, well, this goal's not going to count. He's offside. Teal Bunbury doesn't celebrate. Tim Melia just sets the ball down and gets ready to play on. I think that's a tricky one. And I do think it's a thing to remember. We have video review in most sports now. Has it eliminated controversy? No. And it never will. There will always be controversial calls in every sport. The idea is to change and get the blatantly obvious mistakes corrected. That's a way, though, I think that type of play for MLS. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. We thank you for watching another hour of television on 38 The Spot. We'll see you again tomorrow morning on TV. Coming up on the show on Sports Radio 810, we've got Brian McCray to talk base brawl and fun police. Gary Lezak to recap the roast last night, plus a weather forecast. Sam Mellinger in the 8 o'clock hour, Herm Edwards in the 9 o'clock hour. Stick around on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll see you tomorrow morning on 38 The Spot.